Then McLuhan says, we were mistaken. It put us on the map, Bob. So what is that about, Aikido?
What
you remember?
Date are you on, Bob?
February 10th.
Which,
McLuhan
says, which minute, Mark, McLuhan, are you on?
1810.
Oh, 1810. I think he was saying that because people had misperception or misunderstood McLuhan altogether, that gave McLuhan an advantage. What was it? Oh, God. I think he was basically saying it was better that people misunderstood him, and people misunderstood him in such a way that this whole misinterpretation of him gave him an advantage, something like that.
He said it put us on the map. So he was looking for notoriety. He wanted to be visible.
I think he didn't want this whole McLuhan thing to be like a cult.
No, he didn't want that.
No, he didn't want that. So I think that's what it was. Do you remember?
Yes. I have what he says, but it says here, we were, quote, mistaken. It put us on the map, Bob. Is the we him or the public was mistaken? Was he mistaken and he didn't realize he'd be put on the map by being misunderstood?
We refers to him and the McLuhanites.
Okay. So he then says in Annie Hall, you know nothing of my work. You mean my whole fallacy is wrong. So he calls his work a fallacy, which is lots of room there to talk about what that means. But does that prompt you, your memory?
Well, that's the actually you quoted that referring to Annie Hall.
Right.
Right.
As if he's saying we were mistaken. So we're not sure what that means. Then the next part, McLuhan, synchronicity versus synchronicity. And Ayn says, how do you synchronize from a synchronistic point of view? Then he says, you've written here, people don't believe what's in the media, yet they become truth. Then you have synchronized misunderstanding to validate their undetermined state of truism. You got a certain state of truism, and that's undetermined, and to validate it, you synchronize misunderstanding. So McLuhan has talked about how communication between humans is very rarely matched. There's a lot of misinterpretation going on all the time, and that's normal. And it may not even bother people until someone starts writing things down, and then you get people arguing over what they said when they're not inclined to match anyways. So those quotes are relevant. What Ayn says is a basic point that McLuhan said about human communication. It was synchronized misunderstanding. So that's good there. That's accurate what you've presented. Then you have Ayn, the printing press was the beginning of synchronizing, which is matching, which is a problem. It brought in the exaggeration of matching, synchronized synchronicity. McLuhan called this uniformity. That's the uniformity of visual space. Of course, that's all being broken up right now. So much so that the guff is being broken up. Sometimes I think that the guff was created by visual space, but, you know, people died before visual space. Or if everything was always happening anyways, then visual space was always there, and the guff was a product of the printing press. So that's pretty amazing, eh? That this whole hell, heaven, go where you want to when you die, is a product of the printing press. That's a new thought for 99.9% of humans. So then I say this what's the notes here? This uniformity got fragmented by the digital landscape. The uniformity that people criticized since the 50s is the old image of the synchronicity and synchronicity that they were still holding on to. So you have, starting with the beatniks, you have the counterculture is rebelling against the apparent uniformity. What McClune was pointing out to them, that the environment, the electric environment, was creating non-uniformity, and the ignorant, semi-literate beatniks, hippies, yuppies, the different counterculture movements, the New Age, didn't understand about visual space. They didn't understand that visual space is what they were rebelling against, but they were rebelling against a Don Quixote phantom. The visual space had gone. So like the trend as always, people fight the old battles, the old wars. So when visual space was gone by the time of the radio world, that allowed the people to get engaged in resisting visual space. Are you following this?
Yes.
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 Okay. Good.
No.
Ah. An honest person. We have found an honest person. Who is that? Was that Krista? Krista. Not Krista. Krista.
I'm here.
Right.
It was
Did you just
Susanna.
Say... Oh, Susanna said no.
Correct.
Thank you for answering. What would you like explained?
I don't know. I just got lost in the words.
Okay, so synchronicity, like when
What's
people say, oh, my God,
between- What is the difference between synchronizing and synchronicity?
Right. This is
synchronicity and synchronicity.
Yes. Ion laid out the difference. And as usual, it wasn't really completed what he was talking about. So I brought in the print effect, which leads to matching. And that's what is synchronizing. Synchronicity would be maybe the disservice part of the matching. You see, you've got synchronizing among your chemical bodies, but when you bring in the printing press, it puts a new layer over it between chemical bodies, and that would be synchronicity.
And when you say matching, what are you referring to?
Well, if someone's does an ESP experiment with you, and they say, okay, I'm thinking of this. But they don't tell you what they're thinking of. And then you say, well, I'm picking it up that you're thinking this. And they go, that's right, you picked it up. You know, you got into my head, and you're seeing and thinking the same concept I was doing. That's matching. Putting yourself on the same page.
Oh, so you're saying that the printing press and books just put everybody in the same thinking or the same frame of mind.
The desire to do that.
Tunnel vision, so to speak.
It made people have the desire to get on the same page. They never got on the same page, but the society started to regulate the institutions based on that, so it made everybody equal before the law. It made democracy. It made everybody attempt to be equally limited.
And that's a disservice.
Yes, there was a big disservice to that because actually ascending human beings aren't interested in matching with other people. They might engage in conversation, but they don't want to rely on someone else's perceptions as they learn to manage their own, which includes, you know, going to other worlds.
Too confining.
And then you're saying the digital landscape is that same matching, but, you know, times
No, it's non-matching. I don't have to get a publisher
fragment.
To print my book.
Right.
I don't need to get a publisher. I don't need to get a publisher to print my book. I mean, back in the old days, you had to get published before anybody could all get on the same page with you. I've got my own Facebook page. I can publish all I want. So that leads to individual eccentricity of what one posts. So there's fragmentation in the public sphere of communication or the mass man sphere that was extreme compared to the limitations of the Gutenberg era.
But the Gutenberg era also included the television age, or the, you know, the electric media, which
Gutenberg is print. Gutenberg is print.
I know. But
the electric age is called the Marconi galaxy. Really?
Okay.
I hardly ever say the word, but the Marconi galaxy is what we've been having for 100 years.
But in terms of matching and the uniformity and the synchronization of people, that was taken to another level in the electric age, correct?
It was dismantled.
Oh, okay.
Now, this gets a little more complicated once you get some basics. Then we're going to dismantle the basics, because when you bring in the electric membrane, the electric environment with radio, everybody is unified in this new space, but they're not unified in the chemical body. They're unified in a new body, which I eventually call the TV body.
Mm-hmm.
So your humans were unified, and speech was just the content of radio. The form of radio put everybody in one spot, just like the telephone did, but radio was more collective than the telephone. Telephone tended to be made private in industrial society, whereas at the beginning it was a party line. Anybody could hear anybody else, but then that got fragmented into individual telephones. But the radio wasn't fragmented. It was a collective space that everybody had to put up with. Okay? So just look at what radio did. So then you overlay television, which brings the eye into it, and gesture and ESP and multisensuous aspects that the radio doesn't present. And then you bring in the computer and then the digital thing, which allows everybody to watch a different TV station on their phone separately from anybody else. So you see the breakup of the unified radio space. So, okay, so that led, the unified radio space led to both decentralizing and centralizing. The fears of George Orwell in the 40s, 1984 is written or put out in 48, 49. So the unifying and therefore implied centralizing effect of radio was one issue. But the decentralizing of anybody listening to radio whenever they want, they all weren't reading the book at the same time, was going on. So you'll see in McLuhan's War and Peace and Gold Village that speed and crisis enters the urban landscape because of radio, because you create centralizing and decentralizing tendencies at the same time. Okay?
Yeah.
So then TV adds a new wrinkle to that. Then computers add another wrinkle to that. Then the digital Android meme adds another wrinkle, so that the Android meme presents the tension between centralizing and decentralizing. That would be Hillary versus Trump in different levels. And it's reflecting the centralizing and decentralizing happening in chemical body institutions. So that's quadrophenia. You get two types. So during the Android meme, it's basically chaos of the two trends.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got the simulation of it overlaid on the actual radio effect. So you see
so
the communication.
It could be a very. It could, that's what you're saying. All the bodies are battling, and if people don't realize that they're quadriphenic, it's a horrible experience. But if you can step out and know that, you can actually have these as a tool and use them to your
for your
what
slack.
Am I saying? Yeah. So
you
you're not slack. Controlled by them. You control them to create slack. Exactly.
Yeah, and you know how what you do is you know that any discussion in public on any level, from the educated elitists who write articles for Atlantic Monthly to the local thugs in politics, They're all just using their mouth to get their point across, and that medium is not going to happen. So there's nothing for you to listen to if people are using their mouths or writing or typing. You because if you know my stuff, you can out-argue them about what the hell are the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that alleviates, it's like McLuhan used to say, if you want to get ahead of the other guy, you know, do what he doesn't know. So unless you have Bob knowledge, you don't know, and you're lost in the skirmishes. Now, this has been going on for 100 years, but especially in the digital age, people have been typing for 25 years. Everybody kind of notices that nothing ever gets established in the chat lines. So everybody comes in with a joking, ironic, aggressive attitude. So it's the disservice of this kind of sticking to the mouth is played with in the chat line. So you don't have to be too serious when you engage those typings.
So is Trump an example of using all of this for Slack and accomplishing what he wants to accomplish?
Yes. He comes from the traditional image of Slack. He's a billionaire. People think that is a Slack-inducing condition. It isn't, but the naivety of people's icons, finally, so people said, this guy's a businessman. This guy gets things done. They also forgot to say, well, also he's a businessman. He doesn't have to get anything done. He's a billionaire. So he's actually, they were celebrating the slackness part of his life, but they called it the opposite. This guy gets things done. And then there's the complication of he himself having 4 and 5 bodies. And so when he talks, he actually communicates with very vulgar, limited vocabulary. Because keeping it simpler is better. Even Zappa said that. And keeping it, he speaks iconically. Yeah, Carolyn just said he was born for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't put book standards, grammar standards, even TV savvy standards on the communication matrix we're in now. And if you look at it, it's totally logical to have a guy like Trump be the figure for what's going on in everybody's life.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a better figure, just like Reagan was the end of the TV attempted uniformity, iconic uniformity, multi-level, multi-sensuous iconic. He was the perfect guy for that phase, but that's a long time ago. Much technology has disrupted everything, so Reagan would not be a serious image today. So we're in a totally different situation, so it's got to be a different image. So you show the different images. You go from George Bush, head of the CIA, then you've got the Clinton era, then you got George Bush Jr., then you got Obama. Each represents a media dynamic. You could say that Clinton represent the fucking dial tone era of Web 1.0. Remember those irritating dial tones when you went online?
Yeah.
And then there was a break out of that, and that represented George Bush Jr. And then there had to be some kind of iconic recovery from the effect of Web 1.0, so you get into Web 2.0, and then Obama comes in, who is like an acceptable centralizing figure for the new freedom caused by Web 2.0, the new digital subjectivity or fragmentation. So we were all black and tactile, so you had to have a black president. But now something else is going on. Ion showed up, and you have a fucking guy who's on Ion products as president. And Hillary lost because she didn't know about Ion. She wasn't part of the present. And the content is always the previous environment, so the content of Trump is Quadrophenia. And everybody can have a lot of fun typing and responding and joking about him, but he carries on impervious to everybody's nonsense and noise. He's not even aligned with any particular party. So the more you understand where we're at quadrophenically, and I lay out the definitions, you see Trump was an inevitable image.
Uh-huh.
And everything that Ian said fits that.
Well, and Bob, we were discussing, I don't know, last week or Tuesday, I don't know, about Trump's like a real-time archetype. He's a living archetype.
He's
like
a post-archetype. He's not even... Remember, Obama was a mystery himself, and people couldn't categorize Obama.
Yeah, it's past, present, and future. Trump is the merging.
That would be Obama. Trump is ionic. He's not really here. You know, there's a non-Trump aspect is what you would want to emphasize. What you see is what isn't Trump. What you don't see is what Trump is. let's see
beyond
if there's anybody
meme.
Talking.
So then that's beyond the meme. That's Obama
yes.
used the Android meme. In a
that's
camera.
Right. Obama was the Android meme. Here's someone who was blocked. Who's that? I just opened them. Now, we're still with Akito. Akito, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to get too dice. We want to get back to what we were doing. But it's just that Ion said that Trump beat the media. But that's grade six level terminology. The Android meme beat the old centralized media. So there's different aspects of the media that I would say. And then Trump is Rumpelstiltskin. Is he part of the Android meme that beats the old media, or is he Ionic and beats the Android meme? See, so you'd have to ask Ian to parse that to work out what did he mean by saying Trump beat the media. But if you just take in general, he is off the media... policing and monitoring. He's not in their field, and that's what they can't deal with. Some project anarchy as a result of that.
What's Trump naming if he's Rumpelstiltskin?
He's naming, for example, when Hillary's book came out, what happened? Someone made an image immediately and said, I happened. That was the answer. So the media talking about Trump is the Trump factor. He didn't have to do anything. He's a slacker. He didn't make that
itself.
Icon.
The media is eating itself in that way. It declares
yeah.
the opposite.
He is beyond it. You know, in some ways, he's Croker's last man on the beach. That's what Croker was writing about in the 80s. That everybody
Ooh,
is being
fucked up, Croker.
What?
Yeah.
What'd you just say? Weird, fucked up Croker? That's not allowed.
No, I meant I'm thinking of what Croker wrote about, the weird, fucked up stuff that Croker wrote about that people couldn't handle. So, Trump
are you
is...
saying they couldn't handle Croker's writing style?
Yes.
Okay.
You talk about when Croker talked about artificial intelligence and robotics, and people
yeah.
couldn't handle the subject because it was too weird and fucked up for them. So they. So
I got a perfect example of that. I knew this would be useful. Okay, so I went to Croker's blog where academics make little essays. It's called ctheory.net. The letter CTHERY.net. And you can go there, and at the top is an essay called Alternating Veracity. So I wish we could get rid of the echo. Is there any way to do that? We got an update on that, or does it matter?
Do you have your administrative page up? Can you go through and see if somebody's causing it?
Oh, okay, good point, yes. Okay, so I'm talking, and I'm going, so I'll mute this person. Okay, then mute this person. Oh, sorry, just a second. I'm screwing up here. I'm muting the wrong thing. Just a second. I made everybody a host. Okay, starting over again. Muting. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Ah.
Ah.
Hello.
Hello.
And then, hello. Okay, so it is Adelaide, Australia, SIP. That could be.
Hello. Hello.
Is that you, Pamela?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, and you're causing this issue. Let me just typical outback fucking phone out there in the wilderness. In 1985 technology, swimming with the crocodiles. Let me just mute again to see if it works out. Hello? See? It's you, Pamela. You, Pamela. You are never.
Sorry. I'm here.
Okay. Can you mute yourself? See what happens if you do that.
Okay.
Tell me. Okay, let's assume she's muted. Hello.
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 Ah, it doesn't matter if she mutes. Okay, so I have to mute you. So, okay, Pamela, I've unmuted you. How long you been here, Pamela?
Like 2 hours and 50 minutes.
All right, so we've been echoing a long time. So it's your phone system. So I'm going to mute you, but I'll come back to you and check to see what you want to say, if you have anything to say, okay?
Okay.
All right, so let's see. Boy, that'd be great if this. I'm going to unmute those people I muted. What do you think of that, people? It's always one person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It's always one person that causes it.
That
Hello.
Sometimes happens with me on the zip line, Bob. And her volume was super loud. Super,
it is
super
really loud. It blew my ears.
So maybe if she turned her volume down, it might make a difference even.
Gina, are you still on zip?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay, so I haven't gotten an email from Roxy saying she's cut off. So are you there, Roxy?
Is she unmuted?
Yeah, everybody's unmuted except for Pamela. Okay, you're
what
there.
Did you ask?
I didn't ask. I just want to know you're there because I'm going to present some interesting stuff. I want you to be part of it. So just making sure you're there. Okay, you're there.
Yes, I'm going to be here until 7:30.
Right, which is another hour and 40 minutes. Okay?
No, well, now it's almost 6, yeah.
Yes, so another hour and a half plus 10 minutes. An hour and 40 minutes. So that's lots of time to do some stuff here. Okay, so now we got right into an interesting point. This essay by Ted Hebert, who's a professor, now listen to what he writes in the Croker world. Now look at Croker as a guy, he knows about the bodies, he has a book called Body Drift. He doesn't define the different bodies like I do with particular bodies. He just says there's different bodies that we have now. And he means the chip body plus flesh body. So someone in that world is going to ignore ion. So what are they going to say if you can't say ion stuff? Because we know ion is probably the best thing to refer to on general public truisms. So watch what this guy does as he deals with Trump. So you have this quadriphenic, so you got my terms, you got quadriphenic reality confronting everybody, Trump as an art form. And we have the phrase alternate truths came out from his PR spokesman, I think Kellyanne, I think, came up with that phrase. So, okay, so this guy is going to take on the vulgar news coin of the day. Everybody making fun of alternate truths, alternate realities, alternate fake news and all that. So he calls it alternating veracity. Now, veracity means truth, usually. And he has a quote from Rennie Domal, D-A-U-M-A-L. his book, A Night of Serious Drinking. Now, Dumas is a writer, you know, 50 years, 80 years ago. He has a definition of reason. Reason, N for noun. Reason, noun, an imaginary process onto which the responsibility for thinking is offloaded. So if you're doing responsible thinking and you attempt to be reasonable, you've offloaded your thinking into an imaginary process. So he said that a long time ago in a book called The Night of Serious Drinking. So I immediately say the imaginary process would be visual connection, visual space. So I just want to show you, it's an awkward quote. Most people wouldn't even bother taking the time to figure out what it means. So then he starts off and he says, now this is, I'll give you a headline. This thing is so close to us, it's incredible. But watch how he basically complicates it. Because he's a professor. He's got to fucking make a bunch of jabble that a kid has to study for 5 years to do a PhD on, right?
This thing, what thing?
This essay.
Okay.
I'm going to read an essay, short essay, on him explaining Trumpism, what he's calling alternating veracity. So here's what he said. And he's going to have to quote all the postmodern gods like Foucault and Baudrillard and everybody. This is the academic rigmarole, the ritual is bandied about after Baudrillard and Croker established the language, you know, 25 years ago. So here's what he starts off saying. The age of intelligible solutions is over, .. again. There is your homeopathic retrieval. But the age of intelligible solutions is over. That's what happens, what you think, and it's an up-to-date perception, when you don't fucking know about us and have the RNA drops, right? Because we have the solutions. But if you don't know about it, you're one step back when there is no more solutions or intelligible solutions. It's a post-information society in the sense of information is an attempt to match. I've got something here. You should all listen to me and match up with me and follow my orders. You know, that would be an attempt at a solution, an intelligible solution. In the old Gutenberg, semi-Marconi, Android meme phase, early Android meme, let's say. So watch what he says. The age of intelligible solutions is over. Again, it's as if history is on repeat. Only this time, it's not the late 20th century postmodernists proclaiming the death of truth out of radical undecidability. In other words, Croker, Baudrillard, and all those guys in the 80s and 90s pronounced that truth was gone. The death of truth. It's not them being redone by the political flag-waving of an emerging class of proliferating false-sayers. Not truth-sayers, false-sayers. So it sounds like they're not getting any truth from Trump. Trump's in charge, so his kind of lying is in charge. It's sort of what I think he might be saying, but we'll see.
Synchronicity? Is that synchronicity? Trump's affecting how people...
No. The death of truth means there's no synchronicity. Nobody has anything to match up to. No truth that you can put your foot on.
Okay? But if everybody's false saying because Trump is leading that charge of false saying, and so they're taking on Trump.
Yes.
He
seems to be saying, it's going to get way more complicated, but this is what he starts off saying, that in Web 1.0, 87 to 2000, say, 2004, you had Baudrillard and the postmodernists saying there's no truth because they were dealing with the simulation of the first phase of the web. When you get into the second phase of the web, that's where you get digital autonomy, and you're not in a unified Android meme. It's a super fragmented Android meme. Then something else takes over. But it's the same theme, the death of truth, again. But it's being done by the right wing.
Yeah, so yes. 2.0 is making up, quote, truth.
Right. And
so
if
it becomes fake truth.
And the right wing is against Web 1.0. So they're against the postmodernist liars who said there was no truth. So they say there is a truth, but it's pretty hard to understand this truth.
Yeah, people say, no, we hijacked that.
Right, the young people.
Yeah.
And here comes everybody's conspiracy theory.
Well, that was part of the Hillary Web 1.0. There's no Yeah, and the president couldn't talk about it. But now the president can be a conspiracy theorist. That's where it's sort of become ingrained, obsolete, whatever, different
terms.
That's
what you said last night about Judge Jeanine, where she was just spouting off this conspiracy stuff.
Well, she was just like Mae Brussel.
Yeah.
Talking like Mae Brussel, you know, 40 years later, and it's acceptable.
Yeah.
Because there's less... concern about what anybody fucking says, no matter how extreme it
is.
She does it for ratings.
She does it for ratings, yes. And, I mean, I like what she says, but I recognize it as a holy pathic replay of Mae Brussel. I mean, she's on there saying Hillary Clinton's a fucking psychopathic liar, and we need to reopen the investigations into her and put this psychopath away. I don't think anybody would have said that about Nancy Reagan in 1987.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that it's okay for people to be that blatant about speaking those things, or is it
against centralized Suzanne, against centralized images? Hillary's a centralized image from the White House. And the decentralist mania means that we all hate the centralized image. So it's acceptable what he does. That began with Alex Jones.
But is it more like white noise that no one...
Oh, it's all noise. It's not even here. We're going into the false premise of fucking knowledge and dialogue. That's a false premise of time. This is a